Glory to God. So what we're going to do, as I was, you know, getting ready, preparing, what came to my heart, and I'm just going to do it like I saw myself do it. We're going to do it this way. So we're going to, if I can find it, I think they got it for me up on the screen too. But that night on 12/31, the Lord gave me a word. And so we're going to rehearse that word, because the Bible said war, good warfare, with the prophecies that are spoken over you, right? And so do y'all believe that what the Lord gave me was for us?
Yes.
Prophecy. Search. Let's see. Prophecy. Okay, there it is. From Bethany. She typed it up, or somebody typed it up back there. Oh, it's in a Word document. Here it comes. All right, here we go. This is all different for me. And so when I started out, you didn't think I knew what I was talking about, if you remember. I didn't think I knew what I was talking about. It says, I thank you, Father, for this gathering of the saints here in heaven. Yeah, I feel like I'm in heaven. I meant to say here in heaven. Here on the earth. And in heaven, glory to God. So I was kind of confused where I was, but we got there. But I really wasn't confused, because it felt like we were in heaven, and heaven was gathering. You got the whole thing? Can I read that one better? There it says, here and there they gather. There's more in time of gathering here and there, and they're gathering in heaven. What's that from? Hebrews chapter 12. Talking about the saints gathered around the throne of. Have you had anyone go home to be with the Lord? Anybody that taught you anything? Anybody that mentored you? Anybody that loved you? Well, a lot of times I believe that the Lord lets them look down at your spiritual race. They don't care what you're eating for breakfast. They don't care what color car you're driving now. They don't care what kind of house you live in. They want to see what you're doing for the Lord. And the Lord, I believe, lets them have a glimpse of what you're doing. And it says, and they gathered in heaven the saints of old who have gone before us, relatives, friends, family, and mentors and such. And those that have appointed, there's those even appointed, probably they prayed for these days. They're appointed to see these days. They're gathering there. They're gathering, looking through the portals and looking through the gates, looking through to see what has been proclaimed and what will the body of Christ do with the new and fresh anointing. Let's just stop there. So the Lord said, the body of Christ is getting a new and fresh anointing. How many of you know we're always anointed? Are you always anointed? You're the anointed of God. But what does a new and fresh anointing mean? Well, that means that just fresh oil from heaven. The psalmist said, I receive fresh oil. Everybody say fresh oil. How many of you know, just like your car, after you drive a little bit, it needs some fresh oil. If you don't get it some fresh oil, what it's going to do is go blah, 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 and die, right? Hallelujah. And so you need some fresh oil. And where do you get that fresh oil? You get it from time in the presence of the Most High God. You get it at church. You can get it here at church. You can get it on Sunday mornings. You can get it on Wednesday nights. You can get it during a saturation service. But you and I ought to be getting that fresh anointing also at home when we're spending time with the Lord, just us. Amen? Just you and Him. Just you and your family. In His presence, receiving from Him. There's a new and a fresh anointing. And I didn't think this up. If you remember, I didn't think this up. The Lord said this. And if you believe that, you're going to prosper. But also, you've got to esteem it. The Word of God is the most highly esteemed. But if God's given us something and it really came from the Lord, then we need to look at it. And I believe it was specific to this body of believers. I believe it was specific to us. I know there's always, can I be real honest with you? I know that it's a real thing to try to get a word for the year. I try not to get one. I do. I try not to get one. Because, you know, sometimes there gets to be so many people and they're saying so many different things, you don't know what's really from God and what's not. And, you know, and there are people that speak into our lives, and there are certain people, they said they got a word from the Lord, like Dr. Jerry Savelle. If he said he got a word from the Lord for this year, then that's going to happen. Hallelujah. I like that, you know, and other people. But everybody's always trying to get one. So unless the Lord has something specific to say to our church, he just gives it to me. And really, honestly, this was just not something that there's some things that I've been praying out over the year and praying out since the summer. And it kind of all splattered out in this prophetic utterance. And so those of you who've been praying with me Wednesday noon know that some of the stuff we've been praying out shows up right here because it's stirring. It's on our heart. What does prayer do? Prayer goes out in front and prepares the way. And, you know, thank God for praying in the Holy Ghost that you can pray out mysteries. I believe that you ought to pray out in your future. It's like, you know, train tracks. You just lay them down through prayer so that you can run on them. Amen. And I believe you should do that. And so he said, we're going to have a new and fresh anointing. Everybody say, I receive a new and fresh anointing. What does the anointing do? Well, it destroys the yoke of bondage. Amen. Are you anointed? Yes. Well, let me tell you who's in bondage. Everybody who's not born again. Who's in bondage? Those that are backslidden and lost. Who's in bondage? Those that are religious and don't have a relationship. Who's God sending to you in this season with a fresh anointing? He's sending you to your friends, to your relatives, to your associates, to your neighbors, to your kids' friends, and everybody on social media. Ah, where did he get that from? Oh, that was that Marcus Whitman dude, right? Hallelujah. And so the truth is, you're anointed to go reach them. The anointing on you is not just for you. The well of salvation is for you. The river of life is for others. Come on, you're anointed to go do something. You're anointed. Oh, come on, I don't want to lose. Oh, I'm anointed. You can thank God for the anointing to run around the room. I like that anointing. Thank God for the anointing to prophesy. But I'm telling you, this new and fresh anointing is for you to go do something with it. It's time to get somebody out of the kingdom of darkness. It's time to get people born again. It's time to pick up the fallen grain. It's time to help somebody. Amen. How do we help them? With a new and fresh anointing. Hallelujah. How's God going to use you? Just the way he uses you. You don't have to go through a bunch of training. Just tell them your story. Tell them, tell them what Jesus has done for you. Tell them how he changed your life and let that be anointed and let it get into people's lives and let it change them. Amen. Let's go on. Hallelujah. What will the body of Christ do? It's available, but what will the body of Christ do with a new and fresh anointing? What will this church do with a new and fresh anointing? Will you walk through the gates? Will you walk through the door? We say, yes, we walk through that door. Amen. Will you do what the Lord has called you to do forevermore? Will you come and be seated in heavenly places in this day, in this hour, and sit? You know, when in the Bible, when we get a verily, verily, or a truly, truly, or a repetitive thing, you have to listen. It says, and sit, and sit, and sit. I wasn't just stuttering. And sit. So what does he need you to do? Where are you seated? And we're going to get to my message in just a little bit, and we're going to just see what the Lord wants to do. But there's something about being seated. There's something about Ephesians 2:6 for you and for me that we have to stay seated. One of the things, you know, in the 23rd Psalm is, again, we were talking about how you're seated. Throw up the 23rd Psalm just real quick, and we'll come back to that, where he says, in the very presence, in the very presence, because see, a lot of times people think, well, if I'm seated, then nothing's going on. He prepares a table before me in the presence of who? Now, see, you would think it would be of God. You would think if everything is going to be all right, that you wouldn't have any problems. Listen, you and I should have all new respect for the Apostle Paul. Lord, you know, this person wasn't nice to me, bobbing up and down in the deep for a night. Lord, this person said a bad thing about me, stoned to death and killed. Lord, this person took my parking place. Beat. By people he knew, that were supposed to be for him and by enemies, both. You know, sometimes I think, you know, wouldn't it be nice if you're having a pity party, if the Lord could just send the Apostle Paul just a glimpse of him and be like, grow up, grow up. And I'm not making light, well, kind of am. We're not making light of what we've all been through, because when you're going through it, it's big. But how do you know the Lord will deliver you out of it all? But what's he trying to get you? He prepares a table before me in the very presence. So everything doesn't have to be fine for you to say, pass the healing. Everything doesn't have to be fine for your business to explode. Everything doesn't have to be fine outwardly. The devil can be trying stuff, but for you to have your marriage go to new heights and new depths and everything be wonderful. And then he said he prepares a table before me in the very presence of my enemies. Thou anoints my head with oil. My cup does what? What you going to do with this new and fresh anointing? What you going to do with this new and fresh anointing? What are you going to do? How do you get it? Well, I'm going to sit at the table. I'm going to sit in my heavenly seat far above. Let's go back and look at the prophetic word again. Let's go back and look at that. And he tells you to sit, sit, sit. Everybody say, I'm going to sit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Turn to your neighbor and say, stay seated. With your seatbelt securely fastened. Hallelujah. Will you walk through? Will you walk through? Will you walk through the valley of the shadow of death? Will you let the rod and the staff comfort and guide you? Will you? Will you? Will you? Will you? Will you go? Will you go? Will you follow his voice? Will you follow the good shepherd all the days of your life? Everybody lift one hand to heaven and say, Lord, I will follow you all the days of my life. Say, I know your voice and the voice of a stranger. The voice of a stranger. I will not follow. Hallelujah. Will you let him lead you and guide you and protect you? And will you let him lead you? Yes. Will you let him guide you? Yes. Will you let him protect you? Yes. Will you let him direct you? Let's keep going. And there's green pastures and there's still waters. I know this is the prophetic, just a kind of a explode, you know, of the 23rd Psalm, it seems. And there's things to see and there's things to know. And revelation for this time that has been held for you. Not hidden from you, hidden for you. See, the devil don't know everything. The Bible says if the devil would have known, he would have never crucified the Lord of glory. See, when the devil's working, you know, when the devil's got a plan, God's got a better plan. When the devil's trying to do something, God's always got something better. Hallelujah. And he doesn't tell everybody, it's not hidden from you, it's hidden for you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And there's revelation for this time. And then it said, this is hidden. And it's a day of much rejoicing. I said, it's a rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice always in the Lord. Amen. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to get my joy. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I'm going to receive the end of what God has for me. Doesn't matter what I feel like. Doesn't matter what it looks like. It matters what God said to me, and that's what I believe. And therefore, I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to rejoice. I choose to rejoice with joy. I choose to rejoice with joy unspeakable. Ha, 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 ha. And again I say, ha, ha. Hallelujah. For the kabocha kemaha ki ha, 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 ha. For this is a day of much rejoicing. Not just a little bit of rejoicing. This is a day of much 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 rejoicing. I rejoice. I rejoice in the Lord. I rejoice. It's a day of much rejoicing. I've come into a time of much rejoicing. I rejoice in the Lord. I rejoice in the Lord. I rejoice in the Lord. I rejoice. I rejoice. I rejoice. I rejoice in the Lord. I rejoice. I'm glad. I'm glad in you, God. I'm glad. I rejoice. Ha 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 ha. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ha 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 ha. You know the best time to do that is just when the devil hits you what you think is a blow. And then you get up and go, ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. Use the word, I choose to rejoice. The Apostle Paul got up and he said, cheer up. Cheer up, because it'll be just like the Lord told me. Amen. It'll be just like the Lord told me. It'll be just like the Lord told me. His word never fails. It's never void of power. It'll always accomplish what it was sent to do. I believed it, I said it, and he's going to bring it to pass. Hallelujah. It shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. Amen. How do you get it to come to pass? Rejoice with joy. Ha 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 ha. Unspeakable. If it's unspeakable, then it's not speakable. It's got to be something else. It's got to be ha ha ha, or it's got to be something like that. It can't, if it's unspeakable, that means there's so much about it. It's got to be something else than talking about it. It's got to be some running. It's got to be some dancing. It's got to be some laughing. Hallelujah. You want to confuse your enemy? You want to confuse the devil? You just laugh and rejoice and dance and shout and jump around. Hallelujah. You just want to confuse your enemy? Then you just dance. Glory! 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 Hallelujah! Glory to God! Glory to God! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Woo! Ha ha ha! Ha ha ha! Woo! Samana mahila mahai! Ha ha ha! Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. I heard one preacher say, people were asking him, is this necessary? And he said, it's only necessary if it's necessary, and it seems to be necessary. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, King David's first wife fussed at him, and he basically said, you ain't seen nothing yet, baby. See, and he was dancing in a type of the glory. The glory lives in us. The glory is manifest to us. And so don't think it's strange if you feel like you got to move a little bit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo, it's a day of much rejoicing. Why? Why? Why is it a day of much rejoicing? Because this is a day of harvest. This is a day of harvest. Now, when you think of harvest, the first thing you ought to think of And, you know, and if you think we're that shallow around here, that you think the first thing when we hear harvest is money, then you don't know us very well. Because the first thing I think of harvest is souls. When I think of harvest, I think of picking up the fallen grain. When Pastor Rhonda and I were dating, well, whatever we did, I don't know, we didn't really date. When she moved up here and was living with Jim and Wanda and we were getting ready to get married, we went to, most of you have heard this story, but we went over to see Sister Opal's spiritual mother, a lady that she was a missionary primarily to the nation of Israel, but also she traveled around the nations. She was a wonderful Church of God woman, and she used to sneak over to our church all the time because she loved the Holy Ghost. She loved the move of the Holy Ghost, and she loved me preaching, and she loved the move of the Holy Ghost, and she used to come over to the storefront every chance she got. And someone said, you need to go to her house and just talk with her. So we walked in. I think we just barely walked in, and she grabbed us, and she began to prophesy. Well, she did it with tongues. She always did it with usually tongues and interpretation. Now, she didn't know it, but she gave me a tongue and interpretation right before I met Rhonda. And she said to me, your wife's coming, and you will have met her. So I didn't have a black book, but I thought I got one out because I was getting ready to go to Tulsa. And that funny thing was that week, I really didn't usually do this, but I think I had like 3 dates arranged for me. Friends of mine thinking this little single pastor man, he's got to get married. So I had them lined up, and you know, it was a fun week. It was a good week. What are you doing? What are you doing? I'm going to tell the rest of the story. Go ahead. Go ahead and tell them. Tell them the rest.
No, you go ahead.
No, you took the show.
I already interrupted.
You already took the show. So what happened was I was sitting on the front row because some of the church people went and they saved me a front seat. And my sister that night had it arranged
right,
a date.
As long as you're telling.
I want to tell the whole story. And so my sister had arranged, and there was this little blonde girl sitting beside me. And Pastor Rhonda, she walked by, and somebody said, hey, we want to introduce you. And so I met her while I was on my spiritual date at Winter Bible Seminar. So then she came through. Why am I telling you all this? I have no clue. She came through with our friends Russ and Judy Joe. She had been with them in India. Judy Joe's like a sister to me. She brought them through, and when they brought her through, when Pastor Rhonda came with them that week-long meeting, I had already met her. She rode out with my sister, and the funniest thing happened. I don't know why I'm telling you all this. I'm sure it has everything to do with what I'm talking about. I'm going to get back to, I haven't forgot where I was. And so what happened, I think the Lord wants to show you how supernaturally Pastor Rhonda and I got together. Everything in this church is supernatural. I tell you that when you become a member, it's all supernatural. So she rode out here from Tulsa with my sister. And the funny thing was, my mom came with, I could tell you so many supernatural things, but my mom came, and after she had met Rhonda, she pulled me aside. She said, now I'd like you to marry a girl just like that. So my mom was always right, so I married that girl. But we were at Sister Stansky's. See, I didn't forget where I was. We walked in, and she grabbed our hands and put them together, and she said, you are called to pick up the fallen grain of this area. Fallen grain. And we've seen that. We have success getting people born again, but our most success is getting people, especially those that were hurt, back to God. And she said to us, she took our hands and she said, your hands will be like glue and you will pick up the fallen grain. So when Pastor Rhonda and I see this, the day of harvest, we think born again and we think the lost. We think the backslidden, those away from God coming home. Now, it does include every area of harvest. It does include your finances. It does include all of that. Everybody say it's the day of harvest. Now, this part is interesting. This is a day of Shalom Shabbat. And then I corrected myself, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom. Well, the interesting thing is I know what Shalom is. I know what Shalom is because I've heard Jim Quillen talk about Shalom. Y'all know what is Shalom? Peace and prosperity. It's a complete wholeness, right? But I can honestly tell you in my mental capacity, I've never heard the word Shabbat before. I don't really look into a bunch of, you know, Hebrew and Jewish things. I just don't. That's just not who I am. But I began to pray that out a few months ago. And so I looked it up and really just not trying to make it happen. But Shabbat Shalom, what is that? Well, let me see. I found a guy named Xavier. Xavier, if you're watching, Xavier is a cool name. And Xavier, if I can find it, play some music. Xavier, come on. Xavier said, where's Xavier? Because I want to read it to you. Because I found what he said. Not Elijah. Elijah's good. Carol had something good to say. Pamela had something. Xavier. Shabbat is the Jewish way of saying Sabbath. Shabbat is the Jewish day of worship, not just a day of rest like the Western Saturday, but as a holy day, a day of reflection, of praise, and of rest from work to enable them to focus on God. It begins at sunset on Friday night. Shabbat Shalom means peace be on you this day of rest, or more literally, Sabbath peace. More prospectively, it means on this day of worship and reflection, I love this, may you find God's peace from anything that may be disturbing you from the passing week. And as you reflect, may you find peace with God if you've offended him so that you can go on to the next week in peace. Shabbat Shalom, everybody. As we reflect, because a Sabbath rest, but there's peace, there's wholeness. We reflect, if anything's bugging you from this last week, let it go. And the Lord is saying this is a day of Sabbath rest. It's a day of Shabbat Shalom. It's a good day. And then he went on to say, it's a restful day. It's a day of the Sabbath, in case I didn't get it, in case you didn't get it. It's a day of, woohoo, now this one just kind of messes with me. It's a day of double jubilee. It's a day of, well, let's just say that and just make everybody happy. It's a day of double jubilee, double jubilee, double jubilee. I don't even know what that means. Glory to God, it's too big. It's an hour you've entered into as Israel, as Jerusalem itself. We were out to dinner with somebody, and I think we were out with somebody, and they said something about it, and it went off on the inside of me, and I really forgot about it until it came up in the spirit. So Israel, you know, it was 67 war. They're celebrating the jubilee of that, so you must celebrate jubilee. How do you celebrate something? How you celebrate Jubilee? Should you be excited about it? Yes. Should you rejoice over it? Yes. Should you talk about it? Yes. Should you expect it? Yes. Should you prepare for it? Yes. What is Jubilee? It's the year of the Lord's favor, and it's the acceptable year of the Lord. Anything that God, if you had a rough time, anything that was taken from you, anything that was stolen from you, he's going to give it back. And he's not only going to give it back, you're going to get it back double, 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 double. I like the way Joyce Meyer says it. Double for your trouble. Amen. Hallelujah. We're just doing real good, and I got a sermon yet to preach. Hold on. It's an hour you've entered into as Israel, so we're going to celebrate our Jubilee. Amen. Glory to God. Was that all of it? Oh, there was more. And that which is in the natural shall be in the realm of the spirit. So I boldly proclaim it shall be a double jubilee, a double jubilee. He kept saying it, so I guess that's true. What has been stolen from you, what has been tried to be taken from you, it shall be restored unto you. It shall be restored. Everybody say restoration. It shall be restored unto you. Oh, but just like God, there's a but in there. There's a but in there. But you must walk with me. You must follow me. I must guide you into the land of plenty. I will guide you into the land of peace and security, for keep your eyes only on me. Listen, many desire. And those that listen, so it's not enough to have a desire to have this. Desire is not enough. We have to do what he said. We have to follow him. He has to guide us. We have to walk in the word, all right? So, but those, only those who listen to me, who hearken. Hearkening is not just listening. You got to hear it and you got to do it. You hear it, you receive it, and you do it. That's what hearkening. You got to hearken unto the voice of my word. Who will walk in the day? Those will walk in the days of plenty. Who will walk in the days of heaven on earth? For it's the hour. It's the day of great rejoicing. It is a great rejoice. Oh, he keeps wanting us to rejoice. It's a great rejoicing day because the harvest is surely plenteous. Amen. There's more. Look up. Because your redemption draws nigh, and the harvest is what? And I will cause great and mighty things to happen. Yes, in your midst, in this room. I guess he's talking about right here. But yes, wherever you go. For you are my children, you are my bride, and I will use you in many great and mighty ways. For this is your day. This is your hour. For this is my plan. Be seated. Then he goes back to that. Be seated in heavenly places. Be seated in heaven. Everybody, listen up. Be seated. And see, for months... we've been talking about, as a church, we were on a delay. And I was frustrated when I prayed that out. Because I don't like delays. I don't like delays in the traffic. I don't like delays at the airport. But he seemed to make this like an airplane thing to me. Be seated in the heavenly places. Find your seat. For we're ready to take off. Find your assigned seat. This is not an open plane. This is a find your assigned seat. Find out who you are. Find out your assignment in life and sit down. Find your assigned seat. Sit down in your assigned seat, your heavenly seat, and buckle up, buttercup. Hallelujah. Because we're ready to take off. 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 Hallelujah. Is there more? Oh my goodness. We're ready to take off. We're ready. I was saying that. We're ready to take off and walking in the grace. Great grace. A grace that stands. A grace that serves. Now, I remember this when I had this. It was a great impression on my life. It was a strong impression. It was like Nehemiah at the wall. I remember the impression I got when I gave this. It was having a building thing in one hand and a fighting thing in the other hand. You've got a grace that serves and a grace that stands. You've got a grace to bring in the lost, a grace to serve one another, but you got a grace to stand against the enemy. Amen. A grace that will cause you to resist your enemy and serve my people and the people who will yet call upon my name. And so a great grace comes upon this place. Everybody say, Lord, I receive a great grace as it comes on me to stand against and serve and outwardly. And the purpose And on purpose, you will tap into this grace, and on purpose, you will run your race, and it will be the joy and the rejoice. Oh, there's that joy and rejoicing again. And you will find your place in me, and you will find your destiny. Pastor Rhonda said by the Holy Ghost that our destiny, we have an appointment with the glory of God. You will be happy and full of joy. Woo! And the peace and great grace will rest upon you, for the race is at hand, but it's time. Take your seat, take your assigned seat, for we are ready to take off. Ah. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Hebrews, just real quick. Hebrews chapter 3. Actually, we'll go to 4 first. Hebrews chapter 4. There's a place of rest in God. There's a place of Shabbat Shalom in God that we all must get to. The children of Israel, chapters 3 and 4 of Hebrews, are about them not being able to enter in. God had a plan. God had a place. He had a land for them. And so, one of the reasons they couldn't get in, many of the reasons they couldn't get in are in Hebrews 3 and 4. And it says this in Hebrews 4 and 1, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." So there is a place. In the Amplified, it says, "Let us therefore be zealous and exert ourselves and strive diligently to enter into that rest of God, to know and experience it for ourselves, that no one may fall or perish by the same kind of unbelief and disobedience into which those in the wilderness fell." So there is something about, and I call this, there's a place called rest. There's a place of you have to get to, seated at a table in the presence of your enemy. There's a place you have to get to with the serpent on the pole where you have a steadfast gaze. There's a purpose. The Bible says this in Hebrews chapter 4. He says, "Let us labor to enter into that rest." So there is a labor to get into that rest. Why? Because the enemy, because circumstances, because people are always trying to get you up out of your seat. Because there's something natural in us that wants to try to take care of it ourselves. But if you could fix your problem, you would have done it already. You need God. I need God. And so I have to do what the Bible says. I've told you this over and over again over the last few months. It wasn't the walled cities. It wasn't the giants. It wasn't God himself. It's how they saw themselves. And the fact, the Bible says, because of their unbelief, they didn't believe what God said about them and about the land. They believed what they saw. They believed they couldn't do it. They saw themselves wrong, and because of their evil report of, I didn't say it, he said it. It was evil. It's an evil report of unbelief because they would not enter into the rest. They wouldn't enter into Shabbat Shalom. They wouldn't enter into the Sabbath rest. And a lot of people look at Hebrews 3 and 4 and they still think God is talking about, you know, how many know it's good to rest and we should rest? We should have a day of rest. I know, y'all, we don't do that very much. But you should. The Lord told Pastor Rhonda one time, even in the time of harvest, you need to rest. Your body was not meant to go 24/7, 365. It's not meant for that. And yet, really, though, in Hebrews 3 and 4, it's talking not about a physical thing or a day anymore. It's talking about a place in God. And so you have to get to a place of rest. What is the place of rest? It's when you cease from trying to figure it out and do it yourself, and you sit down in your heavenly place in him. When the Father was, you know, I mean, he worked 6 days And on the seventh, he did what? When Jesus went into the bowels of hell and he destroyed the works of the devil, took his blood and put it on the mercy seat, the Bible says he did what? He sat down. Why does he sit down? Because it's done. It's finished. See, we have to look at everything from a finished work. Your healing, finished. Salvation, finished. Your peace, Jesus said, my peace I leave you. Finished. Anything you might need from God, finished. Already done. So that's why you have to be careful about faith, that you think your faith is making God do something. He's not, you know, your faith doesn't have to make God do anything. From your seated position of rest, you receive. Your faith is meant to receive, not make God do what he's already done. That's not what your faith is for. Your faith resists the devil because he's a defeated enemy. You're not trying to defeat him. He's already defeated. You're just enforcing what's already done. And until you see it as finished, you're going to be striving and struggling in a wrong direction and misappropriating your faith. Because you and I are supposed to be at rest. Now, is it a labor to enter into that? Well, yeah, when you got a bunch of snakes crawling around you and they're biting you, it's hard to just have a steadfast gaze on a pole. When everything within you wants to get up and fight back. When someone walks out of love with you and you have plenty of words to tell them what's up. But you're going to have to rest and follow the Holy Ghost and let God do it. Because he never fails. And even in your life, when something looks like it can't be fixed, nothing's impossible with them that believe. And we're just going to keep believing God. Everybody say rest. And it's a place in God. So how do we, so God wants us to rest. You can go all the way back to Exodus. And Exodus 33:14, talking about, about the glory of God. And he said this, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. So how do you get to this place of rest? That means I should spend a lot of time in the presence of God. What does it do? It does something with your flesh. It'll make it sit down. It'll make it relax. Why does God want us to rejoice? And why does he want us to get full of the Holy Ghost? So when y'all were doing that, what was doing? Do you talk about endorphins flying around a room? Hallelujah. I mean, even better than that, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And then I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So if you want to be strong, Lord, in the power of his might, you ought to be a laugher. You ought to be a rejoicer. Because your faith is only as strong as your laugh. And you're, well, that's just not who I am. Well, you better make it who you are. That's just not my personality. Well, your personality needs to change. We need to rejoice. Because see, walking around like you've been sucking on lemons saying, I believe God, nobody believes that and God don't believe that. Amen. When you believe in something, you're full of joy about it. You have the victory, you know, amen. And you've received the end of it, so you can rejoice. And in his presence, you're going to get rest. I like this, what the Lord said in Matthew 11:29. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find what? So how do I get this rest? Well, I'm just going to hook up with Jesus. I'm going to hook up with him. I'm going to take on him, and I'm going to learn of him, And I'm going to learn how to be humble. And I'm going to learn how to come under him. I'm going to learn how I'm going to learn what he has to say about himself. And then he said, I'm going to find rest that way. Because there is a place called rest. But the labor, the struggle is to get into it. And the devil will, once you get there, then you got to fight to stay there. That's the fight. That's the fight. The fight to get in rest. And the fight to stay there. The fight to get in rest and the fight to stay there. Psalms 37:7 says, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Some will look around, and when something's not going right and it seems like it's not going my way, I'm not going to fret. I'm not going to have any anxiety about anything. I'm going to cast my care upon the Lord. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to be stressed out. Because if I'm worried and stressed out, that means I've got the care. And if I've got the care, that means I hasn't cast it on him. I may have cast it on him at the saturation meeting, but if I pick it back up in the parking lot, then if I have it, he doesn't have it. Amen. You remember Mary and Martha? How many of you know Jesus didn't pat her on the back and say, good job, Martha? What did he say? He said, you're cumbered. You have many cares. Mary has chosen the needful part. She's sitting here listening to me. In other words, you need to let all that worry and stress go and just sit down and receive from me. You say, yeah, but somebody's got to do the work. I love what I heard Keith Moore say about this one time. He said, well, how do you know that she needed to prepare food? He's been famous for multiplying the loaves and the fishes. She may not have had to done anything that night. We don't know. We'll never know. Well, we might someday know, but he said, Mary's doing the thing. You know, so sometimes when you get all, you're not in rest, you're full of worry, you're full of fear, you're full of stress. And God can't move in that atmosphere. Not in your life, not in my life. And so that's something that I understand I've got to work at. I've got to labor to stay at rest. And so you need to have people around you that are not making you fret, not making you worry. I'm not saying ignore stuff. I'm just saying you don't want to be around people who are always wanting you to meditate on what's going on in your body, in your finances, in whatever. You don't need that. You need to meditate on what God said. You need to meditate on what he's doing, and he'll always bring you out. So we don't want to be cumbered about. We don't want to be stressed about anything. Because what you do is, when you get stressed, because really what was happening with Martha and Mary, Martha wasn't just mad at Mary, she is mad at Jesus. You see, when you're all worried and worked up about something, and it's not happening the way you think it ought to happen, when you think it ought to happen, you not only get mad at people around you, you start saying, God, where are you? How many know that Jesus knew what was going on? And he saw her, and he saw Martha working, and he saw Mary sitting at his feet receiving, and he was happy with Mary. And yet Martha finally came and said, hey, Lord, my sister is just lazy. Tell her, get her behind up and help me in the kitchen. And he didn't say, Mary, get up. He said, Martha, you're the one that's got all this worry and stress. Come on, if we're going to sit down, what am I talking about? Be seated. Sit down. Be at rest. Be at peace. Because from that place, God can do wonderful, wonderful things. So what are we going to do? We're going to labor to enter into rest. Turn to your neighbor and tell them Shabbat Shalom.